Hello guys, welcome to another episode of our Facts First Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Esguera. Now for this episode, may makakasama po tayo na isa sa mga tumatakbo sa pagkasenador sa 2022 elections. Marami sa inyo, sigurado ako, kilala na siya. Madalas siya makita sa kalye. Dati po siyang naging congressman, representing Bayan Muna for 3 terms. I'd like to introduce to you and welcome to our podcast, si Attorney Nery Colmenares. Maraming salamat po, sir, for joining us.
All right. Okay lang, Christian. Maraming salamat din at good day sa lahat ng nag-view sa podcast mo.
Okay. Una-una, kumusta na po, Attorney Nery? Last week, a few days ago, you announced your decision to run for the Senate again in 2022. Naging mahirap ba yung decision na yan? When did you make that decision actually po?
Yeah, it was a difficult decision because I was saying that there are others who could also run. And you know, pag tumatakbo ka sa senador, you really need a lot of money. Siguro for TV ads lang, Christian, you need about 200 million pesos siguro for that if you want to launch a good campaign. Wala naman kami dyan. Oh, yung 3 terms ko nga sa Kongreso, hindi naman ako nagpayaman dyan, hindi naman ako nagnakaw dyan. So I really don't have the resources then. But sabi nila, kailangan during the election campaign, there should be someone who continues to push for 2 things, of course, no? Una, syempre, yung issue doon sa do we wish to continue this kind of management ng ating gobyerno under President Duterte. And of course, the second is pag-push ng mga issues and advocacies ng makabayan doon sa Kongreso, sa health, sa pension, sa workers, sa peasants, sa farmers, and many other sectors. So, yeah, in the end, sabi ko, sige, we'll give this a try and hopefully the people will, kung ano man yung wala kaming resources, the people will provide the resources para naman suportahan ang isang kandidatura ng isang katulad ko na, you know, trying my best to get a voice of the people in the Senate.
Okay, naalala ko po kasi a few months back, I think naitanong ko sa inyo to on the sides of an interview kung ano yung plano nyo sa 2022. So at that time, I think ang sagot nyo as hindi pa sigurado.
Yeah.
So, kung anong balak nyo. Kasi basically, nakagraduate na kayo sa House of Representatives and then you've run twice sa Senate, no? So ngayon
correct,
talaga...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, those were the times na nagdi-discussion pa eh. Kasi I was pushing for others while the others are pushing for me. So, ang mahirap kasi ang like, senatorial campaign. I've done it twice and it's really, really grueling eh. It's really grueling. Yung 2019 really, grabe, you know, every week pa ng 2 debates. Kung ano man mga TV stations, radio stations, universities, every weekend. So you're on your toes all the time to engage in the debates. And mabuti kung debate mo, eh, 5-6 kayo dyan, 12 kayo dyan. So you really need to put forward your best opinions and articulate your best positions. And that's not really very easy. So I cannot afford the others who can just ignore debates and they just put their ads, they dance, whatever. They can do that. Eh. Kasi, but I cannot ignore debates kasi that's the only time I can go get attention about the advocacies I'm carrying, di ba? So yeah, very grueling, and I was hoping na hindi ko nagagawin sa 2022, especially with the COVID pandemic. Na syempre taya buhay din pag lumalabas ka, in a sense taya buhay kasi ano kung mahawaan ka ng COVID, di ba?
Oo. Pero what do you think of your chances in 2022 kumpara doon sa chances nyo noong 2016 when you first run at saka noong 2019?
Well, noong 2016, syempre, I was with a presidential slate. It wasn't as difficult as 2019. 2019 was really difficult kasi on our own yun eh. Ito naman, hopefully, mahirap kasi tumakbo na wala kang presidential slate. It's really difficult kasi maliban sa we don't have the money, sila naman kasi pag sumasakay ka lang sa presidential slate mo, kahit paano, di ba, you can go around the country kasama nila and talk to people. Pero pag individual ka, wala. So ngayon, we don't know yet if we'll be a part of a presidential slate. Pero this is one thing going for us, I think. Una, sa tingin ko ha, bumabagsak ang popularity ni President Duterte. And the recent surveys showed that. At plus yung formally ngayon, there will be a lot of people questioning kasi corruption ito eh. And naman na-solve ang droga, you know, hindi nila na-solve yung krimen. Ngayon pati corruption hindi rin na-solve. So these are three main promises niya kasi ng 2016. So if that is true, na ayaw na ng tao ng another 6 years ng under President Duterte, then the chances of the opposition people like me increases. Secondly, alam nyo itong nangyari na nag-online ngayon could a major path to victory rin for poor candidates like me. Kasi ang makabayan, kwento nga lang, ang ibang kandidato may pera, walang tao. Kami naman may tao, walang pera. So, ang social media kasi has become a major platform in the 2022 elections, and it has been a major player in fact ang term ko nga dyan, President Duterte's paid trolls have manipulated people's minds through social media. But on the other hand, if you can muster enough social media warriors, you can get your message through. So ang aming members naman, this time around, yung members namin ay, di ba, 100,000 naman kami sa buong bansa. Marami talaga kami. If we can only harness that into becoming a coherent, effective, efficient social media warriors, kumbaga, we can be one of the most powerful social media forces in the country. And I think if you have a powerful social media force, you can make it and make candidates. So I guess that's where we pin our hopes. Kasi pag kami sa social media, hindi ganun palaking gastos in the sense na ang mga members naman namin, hindi naman yan paid trolls. These are dedicated people who will do social media work for you for free because they believe in your principles, they believe in your advocacies. So that's, for me, it opened a new venue na kung saan andiyan yung comparative advantage ng makabayan na pwede naming i-harness. If only, you know, we can do that, it would be a possible path to victory.
Pero hindi ba mas mahirap din? Because under President Duterte, mas vicious ang attack, especially coming from President Duterte, against activists, against the left, against communists. And as expected, mas mararamdaman to during the campaign that they would really campaign hard against the likes of you during the actual campaign period.
Expected yan. The viciousness of the attacks will be there. Well, we've been attacked since Gloria Arroyo days. No? They've been charging us left and right of everything under the sun. But we have always won our seats in Congress. Hindi siya ganun kadali sa Senado, but we expect the attacks. The problem of President Duterte is he attacks everybody anyway. He attacks the kabayan, he attacks bayan muna, he attacks the activists, he attacks the senators, he attacks the bishops, he attacks the celebrities, he attacks everybody. So medyo may problema siyang malaki doon kasi people are beginning to be fed up with all these attacks, substanceless attacks na hindi naman niya masubstantiate. Palaging ganun lang. Ikaw, I'll say something about you on Monday. I think he threatened somebody that I'll say, wala naman siyang sinabi. Ikaw, I will expose you. Wala naman siyang sinabi. Kasi President Duterte is fond of Diyos ang intel report kay President Duterte. Yung bulong, Diyos sa kanya yun. So, pag may nagbulong sa kanya, he just blurts it out. So I think people will look at my track record naman. Ano bang ginawa ni Colmenares? May pinatay ba yon? Wala naman. May ginawa bang krimen? Wala naman. Pero nilaban niya ang pensyon para tumaas ang pensyon ng mga senior citizen. Nilabanan niya ang Meralco at iba pang malalaking dambuhalang kumpanya kasi para pigilan ng mataas na presyo ng kuryente. And hindi naman siya nagnakaw sa Kongreso. Hindi naman siya, di ba? So I think if they only look at the track record of the candidates, which everybody should, then I really hope that the attacks will not be given a lot of precedence by the people. As experience, of course, in 2019, when Bayan Muna got 3 seats in the House, one of the highest votes we had so far in so many years.
Since nag-start yung party-list election sa Pilipinas, nananalo ng seat ang bayan muna, no?
Yes,
and then to
yes.
the surprise of many, despite the conflict with President Duterte, he won 3 seats again in 2019.
Yes.
Pero how do you explain yung difficulty para din mas maunawaan ng mga nanonood sa atin? Kasi ito mas madalas pinag-uusapan lang within political science circles, eh, no? Tsaka within the circles of politicians. Bakit mas mahirap for the likes of Bayan Muna to penetrate the Senate compared to the party-list system or election?
Yes. Well, actually, ang kahirapan sa Senado is, of course, national campaign siya na dapat kuhisin. No? Our national members are used to campaigning for a particular party list. So, okay naman yan. Hindi naman yan ganun kahirap. Pero ang kailangan mo dyan, resources. Ang hinahanap mong boto sa party list is very low. Whereas ngayon, because of all this, you know, you need about 15 million votes. And it's not easy to get 15 million votes.
Yeah.
So, ang aming ano dyan is to have a national campaign, parang ano ba, mass movement type ng electoral campaign. In the same way that, if you look at 86, it was a mass movement type of campaign. I mean, Cory Aquino didn't probably spend a lot there. Just people on their own coming out and saying, we'd like you and we want you to sit in the Senate. So, that's in whatever presidency panahon ni Cory, in this case ganon. Secondly, of course, not just funding but the attacks against us, no?
Yeah.
We've always run under the opposition, eh. If you're with the administration, if you run madali, hindi ganun kahirap yun, eh. In fact, if you're the administration candidate and you lost, there must be something wrong there, eh. Kasi if you're an administration candidate, first, you have the funding na, oh, millions and millions and millions na yun. Second, pag pumupunta ka sa probinsya, welcome ka, red carpet ka sa LGU, di ba? Governor, mayor, everybody. Pag kami naman, dahil opposition kami, eh, hindi ganun kadulasyon. In fact, the governors, pag administration ka, oh, they will ipunin nila lahat ng barangay captain, lahat ng tao, di ba? Auditorium kayo. Ay, di talagang pakutkot kayo dyan, eh. So that's the second difficulty. And of course, yung campaign itself na binibira ka sa campaign. Ang ibang kandidato, binibira lang sila ng kalaban nila, maybe. Sa senatorial kasi hindi masyado nagbibirahan ang mga candidates, di ba? Hindi naman yan nagbibirahan na. Ang medyo vicious minsan yung presidential election kasi one-on-one yun, eh. Oh. Ito kasi 12 seats naman, so hindi kasing vicious yan. But vicious yung ano sa amin, ang propaganda, eh. So hirap talaga yon. While the other candidates merely have to deliver their message, kami, we have to deliver our message and at the same time, explain or defend ourselves from the vicious attack. So all these combinations make it very difficult for opposition candidates like us to win. And hopefully, you know, things happen and this situation can change wherein people will vote for a senator who they say, well, we may not agree with you all the time, but we feel that you are needed in the Senate. And maybe that will work this time.
Okay. Kanina, you listed your track record, no? Yung mga tinindigan nyo na mga issues.
Yes.
Pero alam nyo naman sa baba, no? Meron pa rin malakas na anti-communist sentiment. For example, na-encounter nyo to, I'm sure, no? Kahit na meron maliwanag na track record ng isang kandidato, ang isang tao katulad nyo, usually, madidinig pa rin yung mga comment na, pero komunista pa rin yan, eh. And much of that sentiment is affected heavily by attacks coming from the president himself. So, ano yung discarding gagawin nyo to make sure that your message would come across, would get across to the people, despite this, ano, this anti-communist sentiment?
Yes, correct yan. At yan ang isang level of difficulty. Wala, eh. Talagang kailangan mo lang talagang ano, eh, ipaliwanag sa taong bayan. At marami dyan na ano naman, eh, na nako-convince ka. Kapag tinanong mo sila, ano ba po ang ebidensya nila? Bakit nila ako kinasuhan? Yung ganun, marami nako-convince siya. Ako nga, no? Hindi nila ako kinakasuhan. Kung may ebidensya, hindi, matagal na sana ako pinakulong, di ba? Mm-hmm. Madali lang naman magsabing kurakot ka, eh. The fact na kasuhan ka para on corruption or ganun naman, criminal ka, kasuhan ka for the crime, ibang usapan yun. And people usually begin to realize na all this is just black propaganda kasi ito sila Colmenares. Pag sa kongreso yan, eh, tinikyan sa lalamunan ng administrasyon lagi. So binibira na lang yan para hindi makaupo. So nakakahanap sila ng motibo kasi na bakit ayaw sa kanila ng administrasyon? Kasi maingay yung mga yan sa Kongreso. Binabantayan yung budget, binabantayan yung lahat ng galaw ng executive. So once they find the justification na, ito tinatawag lang ito na komunista because ayaw lang sila ng ano, in the same way na, you know, Duterte naman called everybody CPP and PA naman sa red tagging, di ba? So na yan, that is the main problem nila dito because I think people are now beginning to get fed up with all this red tagging. And if there is a survey, tingin ko, na tanungin ng mga tao, do you agree with red tagging? I think a large part of the people will say, alam mo, yung mga red tagging na yun, hindi na namin pinapansin yan. Kasi parang almost everyday sinasabi nila yan, pero wala namang nangyayari. Kaya I think we will make that message strong this time, na look on the message of the candidate rather than on the attacks of the opponents of the candidate.
Okay, papasagot ko na rin sa inyo, Congressman Attorney Colmenares, yung isa namang issue na ibinabato ng mismong ng mga kasama niyo sa opposition, no? So yung sinasabi nila na, well, ngayon talaga maingay ang kaliwa, maingay si Nery Colmenares, pero ang bintang nila sa inyo, ito again ha, even from the ranks of the opposition, sinasabi na yung mga grupo raw ninyo nakipaglaro nung simula kay President Duterte, especially in the context of the peace negotiations. And ito isa sa mga, sa tingin ko, matinding mga accusations against your group na somehow, nung nagsisimula yung patayan under Duterte, hindi raw ganun kaingay or nanahimik pa nga ang grupo ninyo. And then, nung nag-bog down yung peace negotiations, doon na talaga, all bets are off.
That is actually untrue. No? If you look at the record dito, in fact, we were kami sa NUPL, for example. I'm the chairman of the National Union People's Lawyers. I remember that July 4 of 2016, 4 days pala nakaupo si President Rodrigo Duterte, we already expressed concern sa AJK. Kasi the AJK started before he sat down.
Yeah.
Okay. Nang nag-sit down na siya, tuloy-tuloy naman yung statements namin as human rights lawyer. Secondly, as makabayan, we filed a resolution to investigate the EJK August of 2016. Can you imagine that? I can send you the resolution. A resolution to investigate extrajudicial killings. July, nag-umupo si President Duterte. August, we said that. I don't know if any other party also filed a similar resolution. I'm not saying na kami lang. Although, as far as I know, kami lang ang nag-file. Pero I think kami nauna. Daming nauna nag-file niyan kung meron. So, I didn't hear anybody from the opposition supporting the resolution. Hindi ko lang narinig. But of course, the resolution did not go anywhere. But the fact is, we filed as early as that. So, for me, hindi totoo yung mga ganung ano na tahimik. Okay. Ngayon, doon sa suporta kay President Duterte, may isa akong isang opposition candidate na narinig ko na sabi niya na budol-budol ang taong bayan noong 2016. Is it true? Yes, marami naman kasi na-convince si President Duterte initially. So, at ang isa doon, yung mga pangako niya, sometimes you feel na, oh, he's going to take out contractualization. Wah, yung maganda yun. Pag matanggap, contractualization, by the way, malaking bagay yun sa lahat ng manggagawa. Pag ikaw ay ordinaryong manggagawa, wouldn't you like it? Of course you will, di ba? So, binigay niya naman yung isang batas ko na 1,000 peso, yung 2,000 dagdag sa SS suspension. So, medyo, but thank you, syempre, no? Kaya lang, in fact, I think that's the proper opposition, eh. Now, when the president is saying or doing something good, you say, that's good. But when the president is saying, is doing something bad like EJK, you say, ah, that's bad. Ang mahirap kasi yung opposition na whatever, yung kahit ano pa man, di ba, opposition, which is how they describe us. Pero yung mahirap din, yung kongresista, na kung kahit sinong presidente, lilipat doon. So in any case, ganito yon. I think in the 2022 election, we have to convince a lot of President Duterte supporters. I do not call them I do not call them stupid. I do not call them. One of the greatest crimes of President Duterte is he divided the poor. He divided the poor and convinced many of the poor na I am your Messiah. And we need to explain to them. It's not because of their stupidity or their... No, I don't call them that. They were a frustrated segment of our population who believe that there are changes promised. And this could be achieved. And I will not fault them. because they supported and believe in those promises. What we are asking now is that they should, and all of us should realize that the promises were just promises of a trapo who convinced a lot of people because of his charisma. But in the end, ako naman, anybody kasi who should go to our side should be welcome.
Okay.
Whatever administration, Christian. I mean, during the time of Gloria Arroyo, we were hundreds ang patay namin under Palparan. So Arroyo was really a hated president for us. But when some of her supporters, some of her cabinet members went over, welcome. Because of course, that is necessary. Dito pa ba magsisingilan na o tahimik ka dati? Abat hindi mo sinasabi ito. Diba? Okay. I mean, that's the attitude of a people waging a battle against a tyrant. You need to get as many people to support you. And if you convince a lot of the Duterte supporters to your side, that will be a major substantial support to the victory of the opposition in 2020.
Speaking of budol, Attorney Neri, do you also consider yourself as among those, yung mga nabudol ni President Duterte noong time na yun?
Ah, hindi. I was for Grace Poe. In fact, if you look at my meeting the Avance in 2016, I said, ano bang gusto nyo? Kamay na bakal, which is Duterte. Or, of course, may puso, which is, of course, for Grace Poe, di ba?
Hindi, nung nakaupo na si Duterte. Kasi maliwanag naman na you were with Grace Poe ng campaign. Pero nung nakaupo na si President Duterte, para bang na-convince din kayo na, especially, di ba, dun sa context ng kaser, talagang he-approved on principle yung free land distribution, di ba? That in itself was a breakthrough, was a milestone, at least agreed on principle. Yung mga ganun bagay early on, kumbaga na-consider nyo ba yung sarili nyo, parang nabudol din ako rito looking back.
Yes. You know what? Ako mismo, when he began espousing those advocacies after his act, medyo napatigilan ako doon. I didn't campaign for him. During the campaign period, sabi ko, ang trapo yan. How can you eliminate drugs and crime and corruption in 6 months? Tagang trapo eh. Klaro, marami siya na-convince eh. But for people who think, imposible yan. Hindi mo nga kilala kung sinong drug addict sa Hala-Hala Rizal eh. How can you, di ba? So anyway, but when he sat down and he reiterated his promises, I began to take stock. Kasi he doesn't need to promise it na eh. Nakaupo na siya, di ba?
Yeah.
So, why did he say this? Maybe he wants to do this. Tanggalin ang contractualization, di ba? Free distribution of lands to farmers. I mean, that's what we've been fighting for in Congress for so many years.
Yeah, precisely.
Distribution of lands sa magsasaka, gobyerno dapat ang magbayad ng lupa nila at hindi magsasaka ang mag-amortize. So, all these things really, kaya medyo... I don't know kung sino ang... I mean, if you really are a farmer or a worker, you really take stock. Eh. So yeah, I began to entertain thoughts that maybe this is it. Although, hindi naman tumagal, realize talaga na namin na all these are promises.
Kasi ang isang ginagamit na criticism against your group, di ba, there was a time na... yung mga involved sa peace negotiations, they even went to Malacanang, tapos they post for a photo with President Duterte. If I'm not mistaken, naka fist sign, di ba?
So sa akin, the fist ni Duterte symbolizes the crushing of corruption and crushing of the monopoly. So I mean, at that time, that's what it meant. It could be me. It could mean anything. I don't know what they did. I was not there. I don't know. I never had a photograph with President Duterte that has a peace sign. I don't think it's something that you fault people for. Sa akin, ganito yon. Gloria Arroyo, during the first 3 years of Gloria Arroyo, from 2001
to 2004.
We were part of the majority. Kaya yung sinasabi nila, lahat na lang ng presidente, malis. No, we want to give that a chance. We supported Gloria Arroyo against Estrada at the time, di ba?
Yeah.
Sama tayo sa EDSA 2. So we supported her. Pag lumabas na yung Garcia tapes, ibang usapan yon. pag lang nang lumabas ng NBNZTI, hindi na pwede yun. For me, that is the proper opposition eh. You're part of the majority, pero pag nagkamali ang presidente mo, birahin mo, di ba? That's part. Secondly, Pinoy Aquino, were we part of the majority? Yes. Yes, because we were part of the majority because we hated Gloria. Not the tape hate is a very... We really felt that if she, her candidate wins, Gloria Arroyo's reign will continue, so, you know, di ba? So, I mean, we were part of the majority of Aquino. But once Mama Sapanoka came in, once DAP, the Disbursement Acceleration Program, Pork Barrel came in, ibang usapan na to. When did that happen? 2013.
Yeah.
2013, we left. Kay Duterte nga, hindi umabot ng 3 years eh. 1 year lang. Halos lampas lang ng 1 year. Umalis na kami. We didn't even wait for 2019 to... Because we noticed immediately, awala ito. Maraming talagang issue sa kanya. And even if you tried to give him a chance or Aquino a chance or Arroyo a chance, eh, too much na yung ginawa ni Duterte in her first year alone or at least in the second. Hindi na.
Okay. Now, dito, nabanggit nyo kanina, talaga mahirap tumakbo sa pagkasenador pag hindi ka kasama sa isang ticket ng presidente. Tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo. So, in 2016, you were with Senator Grace Poe when she ran for president. Dito sa 2022, isa sa mga naisip kong logical alliances na mapo-forge nyo, correct me if I'm wrong, is for you to run under the ticket of Isko Moreno. Are there talks or is that a possibility?
We're considering all presidential candidates. In the first place, we haven't chosen, makabayan hasn't chosen, precisely because we believe in the need for a unified opposition. Okay. Ang unified opposition, can we go with a unified? That would be better. If there's a unified presidential candidate and he or she considers us in her or his slate, that would be great. Now, pag hindi magkaroon ng unified opposition, do we still continue searching for a unified opposition? Ang position ko, yes. Even after the filing, we will still work for it. Even during the campaign period, we will still work for it. Why? Because this is a different kind of election. Survival of the Filipino people is at stake here, and we really need to unify the opposition, if only to increase our chances of winning in 2022. Now, is it possible na late na yan, eh, January na yan, etc.? So maybe we could have chosen candidates. All of us would have chosen our own candidates. May manok na tayong lahat. Okay yan, that's natural course. Even us in Makabayan, we could have chosen a slate maybe kung tinanggap kami, no? Iniyaya kami to be a part of that. But ang hiningi ko lang sa atin, even if we have chosen a candidate, let us keep our minds open for a possible unified opposition. Yun lang naman eh, wala namang problemang pumili ka na ng slate mo kung meron mang nag-offer. Di, go for that, pero push pa rin na mag-unify sila. And I think hindi too late ang unification even during the campaign period. Kasi all these opposition candidates, all of us in the opposition, hahabulin niya ni Duterte pag nalo yan. And many of the opposition candidates will think, oh, we really need to win this one. Anyway, ano lang naman ako, 8% lang naman ako. Sige na, doon na lang ako sa'yo, I'll endorse you na. It can happen. That's why I don't believe na, oh, tapos na, file na ng certificate of candidacy. So once everybody files a certificate of candidacy by October 8, that's it. We will not stop from pursuing the search for a united opposition because that's very important. I'm not saying we will lose, but I'm saying we will have a high level of difficulty to win the elections if there are 3, 4, or even 2 candidates in the opposition. Now, have we been invited in a slate? Not yet. They haven't even filed a resolution yet. We always run as Makabayan. And if a presidential candidate would invite us and say, could you be a part of the slate? Then that's something to consider. Sino ba naman kami? We don't have the money. We don't have the resources and everything. So we would really consider, of course, an offer from any presidential candidate. Seriously consider that.
Basta hindi yung kandidato ni Duterte o yung Marcos, definitely.
Oh, yan ang definite. Hindi kami papasok pala.
Okay, so kung ganyan ang options, can you work? Can you be part of Senator Slate? For example, ni Senator Ping Lacson and Tito Soto?
Okay. That's a difficult question. Si Senator Ping, hindi yan na-discuss talaga sa mga kabayan for, well, hindi, una, hindi kasi siya nag-figure doon sa top. Ano eh. Ang aming rule dito kasi sa mga kabayan is we will try to support the candidate who is in the best position to defeat President Duterte. Okay. So hindi kasi siya nag-figure doon, medyo malayo siya. So it never even... Ang second problem siguro ni Attorney, sorry, ni Senator Ping is the fact that, well, in the first place, he authored the anti-terror law, which really... And secondly, he himself said, wala naman akong pag-asa sa mga yan, mga kontra yan sa terror law. So it didn't even seem to even consider us in the first place anyway. So sa akin, hindi siya in the works talaga ngayon. Because, not only because... we feel because he's the author of the anti-terror, but also because there was no attempt even from him to talk to us in the first place. So okay. So I think we were considering Lenny Robredo, Manny Pacquiao, and Isko Moreno. Kung meron sa kanilang yayaya, syempre sa amin na maging part ng presidential slate. If ever they will file their certificates of candidacy in October and make a run for the presidency.
About din sa isang bayan senatorial slate? Kasi bumubuo sila ng presidential ticket, di ba? Isang presidente, isang vice presidential candidate, tapos bubuo sila ng isang senatorial slate. Open kayo to be part of the isang bayan senatorial slate?
Definite yun. I used to be one of the original conveners, so to speak, of isang bayan. I took a leave of absence kasi there was a plan for me to run, so hindi naman tama na nandun ako. But pag mapili ako ng isang bayan, then I would really, really, of course, appreciate it and treasure the support. Yeah, I'd be willing to be a part of the isang bayan senatorial slate.
How about kay Senator Antonio Trillanes? Ngayon kasi yung plano niya for 2022, contingent sa magiging desisyon, sabi niya, ni Vice President Lenny Robredo. Sabi ni former Senator Trillanes, pag hindi tumuloy sa pagkandidato sa pagkapangulo si Vice President Robredo, siya ang tatakbo for the opposition. It's very clear about it. We're familiar, of course, with the ideological differences between your group and the likes of Senator Trillanes, no? Pero can you work with him or even be part of a slate that includes him in 2022? Well,
part of a slate, no? Ang problem dyan for me, the recent niya kasi na statement niya, makabayan, we still need to talk about that. But for me, kung ang aming pagtingin ay we go for the candidate that is in the best position to defeat Duterte, Senator Trillanes is not in that position. So, ang sana, of course, it's his choice, but sana, doon na rin siya sa pwedeng tumalo kay President Duterte. No? But that, anyway, if he still continues to run, then I think that's a prerogative of Senator Trillanes. Yung problema lang dyan, kasi, alimbawa, look, Christian, we have 3.5 million votes, more or less. A party list namin, the previous elections, pag tinotal mo yung 3.5 million votes. We want to defeat Duterte. The first candidate natin is Duterte. The second candidate, B, natalo siya kay Duterte by 1 million votes. And we chose the number 4 candidate, or yeah, number 4, or number 5, or number 6. Di ba sayang if we only delivered our 3.5 million votes to him or her? Di nanalo sana siya, natalo sana si Duterte. Parang kami pa ang kumuha ng bato para ipukpok sa ating lahat, di ba?
Ano ba ito pa?
Very, very careful kami dyan na doon tayo sa may posibilidad na tumalo kay President Duterte. Kasi iba ito. Palagi akong sinasabi, iba ito. Crucial talaga dito na matalo si President Duterte sa 2022.
Oh, although technically hindi naman siya ang tatakbo sa pagkapangulo. No? So iniintay natin kung sino magiging kandidato niya. So are you convinced na despite the pronouncements, talagang tutuloy pa rin si Sara Duterte for president? And Bongbong Marcos, do you think he would run for president in 2022?
That's a very tricky question in the sense na we don't really know that. There are questions here. Is Bongbong Marcos brave enough to go against the Dutertes because of his family's ambition? Or will he, you know, chicken out and say, ah, mahirap na. I'll wait for another 6 years and give it a try. We don't know that. We don't. And, well, it's all their prerogative. In the same way that we are trying to unite the opposition, if they want to disunite among themselves, that would be better for the Filipino.
Pero are you preparing for the possibility of Bongbong running for president and also Sara Duterte running for president?
Yes, we consider that seriously, that there are two of them running. Whether or not Bongbong will actually file, we don't know. But we are seriously considering that situation and would act accordingly once it happens.
Pero kung tumakbo pareho yun, hindi ba mas makakabuti yun sa opposition? Kasi pwedeng mahati ang boto.
I mean, it doesn't matter the impact of both. If we're talking of any support from no, definitely no. No Bongbong, no Marcos, no Duterte. What is the impact of that? Will it eat up the votes of the opposition or will it eat up the votes of Duterte? Of course, it's for the scientists to find out. Ang initial ko dyan natingin, of course, it will eat up dun sa votes nila. In the same way na, syempre, pag tumakbo itong mga, you know, mga kandidato na ito, there will be anti-Duterte forces who will vote sana who will vote for another candidate rather than the number two candidate, yung mentioned po kanina. So it impacts din sa amin yung ibang kandidato. So yeah, but kung ang ending yan because he will divide the vote for Duterte and therefore pwede siyang suportahan, the ending is a resounding no. If he runs, we will not support him. In fact, we will also campaign against him if he runs for the presidency.
Okay. Pero sa ngayon, wala pa kayong pag-uusap with, let's say, Isko Moreno, Manny Pacquiao, or Lenny Robredo for a possible inclusion in their slate?
Talks naman yon through third, you know, mga
representatives. Meron na.
We more or less relayed messages na among our yung mga third parties. So, nag-uusap naman. Yeah. Kata, it's really possible na hopefully, pag medyo klaro na ay, para sa akin, Christian, hintahin yung October 8. Kasi lahat sila hindi nagde-declare eh. Kaya ang hirap talaga pumili ngayon ng ano eh, ng mag-formalize ng pakipag-usap. So we will probably wait after October 8 talaga kung who filed, ano ba talaga ang takbo. And then maybe we will, that's the time we will start the formal talks na talaga. Na, di ba?
Okay. Pero sa ngayon, may open line of communication kayo dun sa tatlo?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Kanina maybe nanggit kayo about unifying the opposition. Eh. Pero meron din mga jaded na ng mga tao when it comes to these efforts to unite the opposition. Kasi yan, nag-declare na. Parang they honestly believe that you can convince Isko Moreno to reconsider his candidacy or Senator Manny Pacquiao and, for example, support Lenny Robredo. At least on the part of Lenny Robredo, sinabi naman niya, she's willing to give way and to support kung sino man yung kandidatong pipiliin ng unified opposition at may best chance to defeat Duterte's candidate and the Marcoses. Pero how about that too? I mean, how do you can convince people na kaya pa tong unification na to?
Yeah. Una, medyo parekahawig kami siguro ni VP Lenny na sa tingin niya, yung, and I think she's sincere nung sinabi niya, kung sino man yung in the best position na talunin si Duterte, I can endorse. So that's really possible. Ngayon, would the others, for example, VP Lenny went to number two, can they be convinced to also support her? I've said kanina, I always believe na pwede pang mangyari yon, even if they file the certificates of candidacy. Kasi in the end, kung malayo ka naman na at wala ka ng chance manalo, pero nasa listahan ka ni President Duterte na hahabulin after 2022, survival also dictates you think na, sige na nga, talunin na nga namin to. Of course, the main consideration there should not be survival, but the main consideration is survival of the Filipino people. So if they realize that this is an issue of survival, another 6 years of Duterte means incompetent COVID response, means more debt, more EJK, more of this kaguluhan and everything that happens now, corruption and so on, then I still would like to believe that the candidates will unify in that. Only for that. Only for that. So yeah, the problem lang, see, it's not VP Lenny Robredo is going up ngayon eh. So yeah, would, for example, if it's Manny Pacquiao or Isko Moreno who's on top candidate, would the both of them endorse the top candidate? Well, VP Robredo has already said so, right? Na ako, I'm willing to do that. If hindi naman ako, parang I understand VP Robredo kasi bakit nasa kanya ang burden to just parang rason kung bakit natalo ang oposisyon kasi tumakbo siya kahit na, you know, panghati, di ba? So I understand her predicament there. And that's really a difficult decision for her. So hindi namin siya minamadali. Take your time and think about it. After all, it's you and your family is going to be attacked by President Duterte during the campaign. Now, will Isko also say yes to Manny Pacquiao? I don't know. It's something, i-reverse mo naman. Si Isko Moreno ang nasa top. Will VP Robredo say, okay, Isko, it's you. Sige, I'll endorse you. Yes, I believe in that. Will Manny Pacquiao do the same? I'm not too sure. It's something that they have to decide. None of them had made such commitments kasi VP Robredo is the only one who made a public, parang, you know, sinasabi niya, I will help. Kung sino man yung makatalo kay President Duterte, I will help there. So, and I believe her na it's true. And she's sincere in doing that. And she will, whatever ambition she had, she will sacrifice it if only for the, you know, for the search for a unified opposition.
Okay. Attorney Nery Colmenares, maraming salamat po for joining us on this podcast. Maraming salamat, sir.
Maraming salamat din. Thank you, Christian.
Okay. That's it for our episode today. I'm your host, Christian Esguera. Again, you can watch this episode on my YouTube channel. Just click subscribe and like. And also, you can listen to the podcast edition on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. Maraming salamat for joining us today.